Begin the current Daf Masechta Yuma Daf Lamed Hey. Begin on the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues discussing the Mishnah from the previous Daf, and that is the Mishnah continued in the theme of this Masechta, which was talking about the Avoda of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippurim. So it spoke about the first Avoda that he does. Now, as we mentioned in the previous Daf, there were five different phases that he went through on that day of Yom Kippurim, starting with the gold vestments, then to linen, back to gold, back to linen, back to gold. So we had previously spoken about the first one that he does, the Tamas Shel Shachar, which he does with the golden vestments. Then the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Beis in the previous Daf mentioned the transition then to Big Day Lavan, and that he tivels in the Beis HaParva, and that's where our Gemara will begin discussing that of the Mishnah. The Gemara asks, my Parva, what is Parva? One of the places in the Beis HaMikdash, which is where he would immerse himself for the rest of the Tevilas, for the day of Yom Kippurim, was by the Lishkas Beis HaParva. So what is Parva? Where did he get that name? So Rav Yisus says, Parva Amgusham. Parva was his name, and he was a sorcerer who built that chamber, and it was called on his name, and therefore it was called Lishkas Beis HaParva, and that was where, on that roof, was where he would immerse himself during the four remaining tefillahs of Yom Kippurim. Now, our Mishnah told us that Parsu Sadin Shel Butz, they would hang up a curtain made out of linen to separate between him and the people who were, everyone was washing the Kohen Gadol, they wanted to partake of that Avodah, but to have for that tznius, so he would have this curtain. So the Gemara asks, Maishna Shel Butz, why was it particularly of linen? And we had to actually mention that it had to be from that. Why was that? So Rav Kahana says, Kedeshi Yakir Shavidah Sayyim Bebig De Butz, that the Kohen Gadol should recognize that the service of today is all with the linen garments, again, continuing on the stress and the focus that today is different, today is Yom Kippurim, today goes inside Lefnai V'Lefnim, which is only done with the linen garments, and that's why he had to keep that focus, that we had the curtain even that separated him when he would go into the mikvah, would be made out of linen. Now, the Mishnah told us, actually, two different opinions, but the opinion of the Chacham was that B'Shachar, that in the morning he would wear one type of linen garments when he would actually go do the avodah of the Ketairis, Lefnai V'Lefnim, and throwing the bloods over there inside the Beis HaMikdash. It was made out of 18 mana in the morning, and in the afternoon later on when he would take out the pan of the fire and the Ketairis, then it would be made out of 12 mana. And then it said that, and the total of that is 30. So the Gemara asks, V'tana minyana asa lashminan? Is the Tana of a Mishnah coming to teach us addition? It ends off by saying, 18 in the morning, then in the afternoon it's a little bit not as expensive as the morning one, it's going to be 12. And you know what? Hakol shleisha mana. The total is 30 mana. So the Gemara is asking, we don't know 18 plus 12 is 30. Why does the Mishnah have to tell us that? So the Gemara tells us that Naha kamash malan. The chiddush of the Mishnah, why he repeated it and it gave the sum total of it, was to say that the sum total has to be 30 mana. And that's the maximum amount that we're allowed to take from Hekdesh, as the Mishnah had told us. Look, you want to take more Kohen Gadol, you can increase the value of your garments you're wearing, but the total that we're allowed to take from the public funds is 30. Now, the Chiddush of that is, the Betzir Mahani, that to take less than 30 mona, loy naved, that also you can't do. So you can't take more than that from the public funds, but also you can't take less than 30. The value of the garments in the sum total of them cannot be worth less than 30 mona. Now, but the chiddush is ha'ibitzir mahani. But if you want to diminish, let's say, the value of the morning garments from 18 mana, v'tafi ahani, and then you want to increase the value of the evening garments from 12. So let's say you make the morning 17 and the evening 13, less lamba. That we're not concerned about. And that was the purpose why it summed it up. It said, look, the total is 30. Now, what's the chiddush in that? To say that, look, if you want to make 117, 113, 116, 114, you could do that, but as long as the total is not more or less than 30, and that was the reason why it summed it up. So now the Gemara explains now, the Kuli Alma Mias, but however, either one of the pins on Mishnah, that of Meir or the Chacham, who argue exactly what was the amount of the morning value of the garments or the evening ones, but everyone agrees, the Shachar Adifi, that the morning garments were more expensive. On that, the Gemara asks, Manola, from where do we know that? Why would it be that the morning linen garments were more expensive than the evening ones, than the one that he would use later on when he would transition from after doing his ayah on the ayah la'am to then go back and take the pan out? Some of Huna Bered Rav Eloi, it says, Amakar, it says in the Pasuk in the Yikra, it says, bad, 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 bad. Now, what it means is that in that Pasuk, it says four times the word bad, when he was getting dressed in his linen garments of the morning time when he does that. Now, what is the reason why he repeats it four times? And this is a pasuk that says, "Ksenis bad koydish yilbash mechnasei vadiyol basoy uveavnit vadiyachkar mitznev is bad yitznev." When it talks about the different garments, it mentions the word bad four times. The reason why it stressed it again and again is to say muvchar bebad, that it should be the choices of the linens. That's when he's doing it. That pasuk is in context of when he's coming to do the avodah of the keteris, which the first time he puts on the linen garments, as we said, there's two times he wears linen. Three times gold, which is a shemayin begadim, two times linen. So the first time is in that context where it says bad four times to say that should be the choicest. That's a contrast to the evening one, which didn't have that contextual identity of bad, 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 and therefore that didn't have to be the same type of value. Now, the Gemara continues on the base and asks a question on this that seems to contradict this and say to the contrary, that the evening ones are more expensive. Meisvei, the Gemara asks from a pasuk in Yecheskel. Now, just to get a background of this pasuk, the context of this pasuk sounds like it's talking about Yom Kippur. Because beforehand it says in the pasuk, V'hoye b'voyim, that when the Kohen Gadol will come, El Shari HaChatzah HaPanimis, into the inner gates. So it says that Big Day Pishtim Yilbushu, that they'll wear these linen garments. They're not going to be wearing any wool. Now, so on that, Rashi explains that this must be talking about Yom Kippurim, because if it's talking about any other day of the year, but there's the Me'il, which has Tcheles, there's the Cheshen Ne'efed, which also has Tcheles, and it says after this. So obviously, it's talking about Yom Kippurim, which that's the only day when he's not wearing any tzemer, he's only wearing Pishtan, only linen. Now, it says after that in the Pasuk in Yecheskel, Uvitzisim Alachatzah Chitzana, that when they'll go out to the outer part of the courtyard, Yivshutu Es Begdeim, they'll take off their garments. And the pasuk says, which our Gemara brings, v'lavshu begadim acherim, and then they'll clothe themselves with other garments. Now the Gemara assumes right now what the pasuk is saying is, and that when he goes back in the evening, that's what it means. He went outside. Now when he's going back in, he's going to put on begadim acherim, other garments of linen, which means, and not the first ones. Now the reason why the pasukim here in Yecheskel are identifying this halacha is because this wasn't alluded to in the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote, and it was because rather it was a halacha Moshe Messina, which is not written. So Yecheskel came and he wanted to support it with a pasuk. So it says that and then they'll put on other garments later when they're coming back in with into the area of the Kaddish. And then the pasuk concludes of that they shouldn't sanctify the people with their garments, which the end of this pasuk is talking about a different idea, which is that when they're mingling with the people, when they're back outside, then they should wear unconsecrated weekday type of clothing. But however, what the Gemara says is, and this is the question, my love, acherim chashubim mehem, doesn't it mean that when it says that when they'll come back again, which means this is the first time, as we said, you come with the linen garments, then you go back out, then you're coming back in the second time with linen garments, it says that then they'll put on begadim acherim, other clothing. Now, what does it mean, other? Doesn't it mean that it should be better and more chashiv? Because or else, why should I have to write acherim? It sounds like it shouldn't be the same as the first ones. And therefore, that contradicts what we said, that the morning one was more expensive than the evening one. Now, the Gemara says, "Lo, no, it's not a question, because to the contrary, acherim p'chus mehem, other garments, means that they're not as chashiv, that they're lower in value. And that's because, as Rashi explains the logic behind this, is because the first avodah, the first time that the Kohen Gadol wears the linen garments, that's a chashiva avodah. It's distinguished in the fact that it creates the atonement. It's throwing, it's the spraying of the blood, it's the putting up the keteris. But the second time he wears the linen garments to go inside is because the only way he can go inside is with linen garments. But when he's going in, the only thing he's doing essentially is removing the pan and the shovel, because it's not honorable that to leave the ashes over there, the keteris over there, and therefore he has to go back in. So therefore he downgrades, so to speak, his garments, because he's not really doing an avoda of chashav and kapara. It's just a removal of the pan and of the shovel, and that's why it's lower garments. So therefore it's not a contradiction from that pasuk, because acherim, yes, it is other, but not other to the better, but rather other to the prices, to a lower level, as we said, that everyone agrees in our Mishnah that the evening time that he used the linen garments are lower in value than the morning. Now, continuing on this theme of the Big Day Lavan that the Kohen Gadol would wear inside the area of the Kaddish, so Tanya Rav Huna Bar Yehuda Vamrila, and some say Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, that Achar Shekol Avodas HaTzibur, after the Kohen Gadol would finish the Avoda that is incumbent upon the public, Kayin Sha'asloi Ima Ksainis, so then any Kayin, which in this context to my Kayin Gadol, that his mother would make for him a tunic, so Leiv Shiva Ovid Ba Avodas Yachid. So after he finished with Avodas Tzibur Yom Kippurim, then when he's doing his own private Avodah, then he would go ahead, he could wear the tunic that his mother made for him for this special occasion or in general. Now, what does it mean, avodas yachid? So Rashi's preferred pshat means that it means the removal, which means there's two times again that he wears the Bigdei Lavan. The avodas hatzibur is the first time he goes in, when he's spraying the blood of the karbonos of the power, and he's bringing the ketores, which creates the atonement for Kala Yisrael. But in the sense, when he's removing the kafa machta, when he's coming back in the second time, that's not necessary for the public. It's just because, as we said before, it's not honorable to leave a used shovel over there in the Kodesh Kodeshim, so he has to remove it. And therefore, that's why the Gemara is calling it an avodas yachid. It's just, it is incumbent upon, it has to be done today, but it's not essential for the kapara of the tzibur, and therefore it's called avodas yachid. Therefore, he could wear garments that his mother made for him, as long as ultimately it's given over to the tzibur, because as Rashi explains, it is in a sense avodas tzibur. So it's somewhere in the middle, in the sense that the avodah of the tzibur, the first one that he wears in the morning, that has to come from the tzibur, because this is avodah of tzibur. When he goes back in the second time and he's just removing the pan, it is an avodah tzibur, and that's why the garments have to be given over to the tzibur, and that it's as if they own it, because that's the only way the garments he could be wearing will be viable for avodah tzibur. But it's not such an avodah tzibur, and that's why his mother can make it for him and then give it over to the tzibur. But the Gemara asks on this halacha. Pshita is pretty obvious. And that is, of course he could do that avodah with these garments that his mother made for him, because you just said that he has to give over the rights to it as if they're acquiring the rights and the ownership of these garments. So why can't he use these garments? It's owned by the tzibur. What's the chiddush? So now the Gemara says, Ma detayma necha shem aloyim serenu yafa yafa, that there would be some type of a concern, that it wouldn't be given over the rights and the acquisition wholeheartedly and with the full strength, with the power of attorney, so to speak, and therefore it wouldn't be Bigdei Tzibur, and then it wouldn't be valid to be used. Kamash Malon, the Chiddush is, that's what we're telling you, that no, we're not concerned. They give it over full rights, even though they made it, and she made it for her son, and she wants her son to wear it. It's the Tzibur that owns it, and that's why he could use it for the second time that he uses the Bigdei Lavan, that of removal of the Kafan Machta. Now, related to this, that there were mothers that were very proud and they made these garments for their sons. So Amar Lav Al Yibishmol Ben Pabi, Sha'as Loi Imay Kutayne Shel Me'amana, that his mother made for him, again, a show of display of honor and recognition for the avodah that the kohen is doing, made for him a tunic of 100 mana. V'loiv Shav Oved Ba'avodas Yachid, and he would wear it, and he did the avodas yachid, as we said, which is the second time he goes in to remove the pan. U'masot Tzibur, and they gave it over to the Tzibur again, as the halacha requires. Now, similarly, but in different, Amar Lav Al Rabbi Elazar ben Charsim, they said regarding Rabbi Elazar ben Charsim, Sha'as Lo Imay Kutaynis Mishtei Ribay, his mother made for him a tunic that was worth 20,000 mana, as the Gemara will illustrate shortly, that Rabbi Elazar ben Charsim's family was very, very wealthy. However, his brothers, the Kahanim, in other words, the rest of Kahanim, did not allow him to wear it. And the reason is, because he looked naked. He looked like he wasn't wearing anything. The Gemara asks, Mimes Chazi, is it possible? The Gemara is wondering, how is it possible that they're able to see his skin through his garments? But the Gemara tells us later on, Daf Ayin Aleph and Beis, that chutin, the threads of the Bigdei Kahuna, of the Kahana garments, were kafal shisha. They required that they should be sixfold of the threads. That is, every thread is like sixfold. So they're so thick, how is it possible that one was able to see through that weave and see as if he's naked? And then Abai says it's not such a challenge. Because kachamra b'mazga, it's like wine that's visible through a glass vessel. And that would be, even if the glass is thick as it is, glass is still that is still visible from one side to the other, it's still translucent. And that's why the same thing was over here. Here the linen was so fine, no matter how thick it was, one was still able to see his flesh underneath. And that's why they said, this is obviously very expensive, but you cannot wear this when you're doing the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, once the Gemara introduced Rabbi Elazar ben Charsim and how wealthy he was, the Gemara brings the following brisa. Turn up on the Linda brisa. Ani v'asher v'rasha boin ledin. You can have a poor person, a wealthy person, and a wicked person, which in this context means someone that is enveloped by this physical world, and they come to judgment. Now, what that means is if someone comes to what the Bezdin Shalamala, in other words, after 120 years, comes to the court in heaven, and the court, if they want to prosecute the poor people because of Hillel, and the wealthy because of Rabbi Elazar, and those who are busy with their Yetzahar, and they can use Yosef, the prosecution has what to say to prosecute people that have not fulfilled their quota. As the Gemara explains, La'ani Aymrim Lai, to the poor person, they tell him, Why is it that you didn't toil in Tyre? Now, Tesi Yisham says, this is based on like the Gemara in Sanhedrin of Zayin and Manav says that the first thing that a person comes, his tchilis din nishal adam, when they ask him, he comes to court, the first thing they ask him was, did you toil in Tyre? So essentially, they're starting off the court case. Why didn't you toil in Tyre? Say, look, heaven, Hashem, I was poor, I was busy with my sustenance. I wasn't able to toil in Tyre all day. So Amrle, they tell him, Klum ani hayisa yisim hill, were you poorer than hill? As the Gemara says, Amr lov al hill azak, and they said regarding hill the elder, Shebechal yoyim v'yoyim, every single day, hayayiso mestaka bitrapok, he would work, and what would be his pay? It would be a sela medina, which is a half a dinner. Not a lot of money. Very little, as a matter of fact. Now, chetze hayunisin l'shreima beis ha-medrash, he would take half of that, and give it to the guard, to the watchman of the beis ha-medrash. They only allowed in. They had to pay the guard, whatever the circumstances were. And the only way he could come in is if you paid him a certain amount. Now, he would take half of what he made that day, which as it started wasn't a lot, give that to pay the guard. And then the other half he would use to support himself and to support the sustenance of his family. Now, the Gemara says that Pamachas leMotzelistak. One time he didn't find, he was looking for jobs, couldn't make any money that day. Therefore, the guard by the Beis Medrash didn't let him in. Whatever it is, the circumstances, they had to pay the guard. It was necessary for whatever reason. If you wanted to come in, you had to pay, and they didn't have money. So he went up, and he hung himself by the roof, by the opening of the skylight. So that he could hear the words of the living God, in other words, the words of Hashem's Torah, from the mouth of the Gedolei Hador, Shmaya Vavtalion, who were lecturing in the Beis Medrash. So Amr, they said that Isa Yom Erev Shabbos, that day was Friday afternoon, it was Erev Shabbos, and it was the period of Tevis, which is the real thick of the winter. And then snow came down on him from Shemayim, from heaven. Now, when it came time for the break of dawn, Amr le Shemayim Avtayim, so Shemayim told Avtayim, Avtayim Nachi, Avtayim my brother, every single day at this time, this room, the Beis Medrash fills up with light, and now today it's dark. Maybe it's a cloudy day. So their eyes looked up towards the skylight. And they saw the figure of a person by the skylight. And they're wondering, of course there's no light. There's someone blocking the skylight. They went up to the roof. They found a height of 3 amas, approximately like 6 feet of snow on top of hill. So Parku, they extricated him from the weight of all the snow that was on top of him. Vechitzuhu, and they bathed him, they washed him, v'sichu, and they anointed him with oil. Veshivuhu k'neged ha-madura, and they placed him opposite the fire. Amr, they said, ro zeh l'chal b'sa Shabbos, such a person is fitting that we should desecrate the Shabbos to save his life. And therefore, what they are going to tell him, Bezen Shalmal, is you were very poor. But Hill was even poorer, and Hill was able to learn, and therefore that's not an excuse why you didn't learn Torah. Similarly, Asher, a wealthy person, they tell him, name Maloy Sakhmatar, why is it that you didn't toil in Torah? So Im Aymer Asher Yisiv, he says, I was wealthy, Vitardi Yisiv bin Nachasai, I was very busy with my business, I couldn't just leave it, who's going to take care of it? So Emily, they tell him, Klum Asher Hayisa Yisim Rebbe Lazar, were you wealthier than Rebbe Lazar? Amr lov al Rebbe Lazar ben Charsim. They said regarding Rebbe Lazar ben Charsim, who we mentioned in the previous Gemara, sheinich le aviv elef ayaris bayabasha, that his father left him over inheritance of 1,000 cities on dry land, ukenegdon elef svinas bayam, and correlating to that, 1,000 ships at sea. And in spite of that, ubechal yoyim v'yoyim neitel neitchel kemachal ksef, he would take a flask of flour on his shoulder. He would go from city to city, from country to country, from province to province, to go ahead and learn Torah. As the Gemara even illustrates that Pamachas Mitzu Avad, of one time, his servants found him. He was walking on his travels, going to one Beis Medrash to another. Vasu Bayangarya, and they imposed upon him the service of the master of the city. And that is, essentially, he was the master of the city. He owned all these cities. But they didn't recognize who he was. He looked like just a vagrant, just someone just walking through, going from place to place. And they thought he's from one of the people that live in the city. And the way the protocol was that whoever's there, they can use him if they need to utilize one of the members to do some of the work for the owner of the city. And now, so they were using him. They took him into the service to say, you're going to have to do this work. So Amal Hen, so he said to them, "Bebakasha mechem, please, I beg of you, hinichuni be'elech l'matara, leave me go, and I want to go learn the words of Torah." So Amalai, so these servants who were his servants, who didn't know who he was, they said to him, "Chai Rebelazim Mecharsim, we swear by the life of Rebelazim Mecharsim, who that's our master, Shemanichem Yisrael, we're not going to leave you, we're not going to let you go." And some have the girsa that Nasan Lehamam and Harba, he gave them a lot of money, Kadesh Nichoy, so that they should let him, because he was obviously very wealthy, but no one knew who he was. However, what we see from this is, from the fact that they didn't recognize him, obviously from all his days, he never went to his servants to see them, that anyone should know that he's the master. Rather, he would go ahead and sit and toil in the words of Torah all day and all night. And therefore, it's not an excuse that you're fabulously wealthy, because Rebbe Mecharsim was even wealthier, and still he would go ahead and learn Torah day and night. Finally, Rasha, a wicked person, they would tell him. And again, in this context, the wicked person is someone that, because he's busy with this, with his physical attributes in the physical world, they tell him, why is it that you didn't toil in Torah? So he says, look, I was beautiful, and I was challenged with the travails of my inclination all the time. I wasn't able to go ahead and learn Torah. So they tell him, do you think you were more beautiful than Yosef? They said regarding Yosef the righteous, every single day, the wife of his master, Potiphar, would try to seduce him with her words. And even more, garments of clothing that she would wear for him to attract him in the morning, she didn't wear those same garments in the evening. She would change. Then the garments she wore that evening, it's not the same one she would wear in the morning. She would constantly be changing garments just to seduce him. Amalei, she said to him, Hishamali, listen to me, be seduced. Amalei, love, he says, no. Amalei, she said, she was warning him. She said, Hareini chavashtucha bebeis asurim, I'm going to have you locked up in jail. Samalei, he said to her, and this is as a quote as it is in Pasuk Tehillim, Hashem atar asurim, Hashem lets free those who are locked up. So she said, Hareini kafeves kamascha, I'm going to diminish your posture. So he says, Hashem zekiv kefufim, Hashem stands up straight those who are bent. She said, Hareini misames enecha, I'm going to blind your eyes. So he said, Hashem pekeach rivim, Hashem helps the blind open up their eyes and see. So nasan elef kikri kesef l'shmoya lao, so she gave him 1,000 kikr of silver that he shall listen to her. And what should he listen to her? As the pasuk says over there, lishkev etzla liyisima, to lay next to her, to be with her. However, v'leirat lishmaila, but he didn't want to listen to her. He stood firm his ground, not to be seduced. And what does it mean, lishkev etzla? That meant bo'ilm hazeh, to lay next to her in this world. And liyisima, what does it mean to be with her? Lo'ilm haba, to the world to come. And that's in spite of the fact that Yosef was more beautiful than the person that's coming, the Russia, to the Bezen Shalmala. And therefore they're saying, and still he held firm his ground. As we said, that it's not just Asakta B'Torah, which Yosef HaTzadik did, but it's all the mitzvahs, but that was just Tchilas Dinei Shel Adam. And the fact that you had this beauty and you were busy with the Yetzer is not an excuse why you weren't able to do the job that you were supposed to do. So then the Gemara concludes, Nimtza, comes out. Hillel Mechayiv Asanin, the hill obligates the poor people in their justice, in their law, what's going to be for their court case. Rebbe Elazar ben Charsim Mechayiv Asashim, he holds liable all the wealthy people. And Yosef mechayim es rishon. And Yosef holds responsible all those that are wicked, again, that are busy with their physical bodies and all the physical things that they're caught up with. Yosef HaTzadik had even greater challenges, and yet still he was able to stand firm and be Yosef HaTorah and do all the things he had to do. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Again, it's a continuation of the previous Mishnah, which had transitioned from the first Avodah that he does, the Tamas Shoshacha with the Big Day Zav. Now we're going into the Big Day Lavan, as we spoke about in the previous Mishnah, that he goes and immerses himself by the base of Parva, and he's wearing the linen garments. Now he goes to the second phase of his Avodah. Bolei Itzel Pari. So he comes to his bull, and as the Mishnah says, Upari Hayo'emid Bein Ulam Bel Mizbech. His bull was standing between the antechamber and the Mizbech. So the Mizbech is somewhere. There's different opinions where, but essentially where this bull was in front of the antechamber, which is the opening of the Beis HaMikdash, and the courtyard stands in front of that if one's coming from the east. Now, between the Mizbeach and the Ulam is where the bull of the Kohen Gadol was. Reisha Ladarm, its head was facing towards the south, which means to say that its rear was facing towards the northern part, which would be if you're facing the Beis HaMikdash to the right, and his head is facing to the south. Upanav Lamayev, however, its face, the head is facing the south, but its face is towards the west. The Gemara will explain, because they would actually bend the head of the bull to face towards the Heichal, the sanctuary. And the Gemara is going to ask, if they wanted the face to face that way, then why didn't they just have the tail facing towards towards the east and have the head face toward the west? Why do they have to have the body aligned from north to south and then turn the head from east to west? So that's where the placement of the animal was. And the Kohen Gadol, he would be in the east. In other words, his back would be facing the east. Ufanav Lamarav, and his face would be facing towards the west, towards the Heichal. And then he would lean his two hands on the bull, and he would say confession. This is what he would say. He would say, "On Hashem, please Hashem, avisi, I sinned willfully. Peshati, I sinned rebelliously. Chatas lefenacha, I sinned erroneously in front of you. Ani uvesi, me and my household, on Hashem, I beg of you, Hashem. Kaperna, again the same three terms. Please atone la'avoynis la'psham la'chatoim." And again, she'avisi v'shebeshati v'shechatasi lefanecha, that I have sinned willfully, rebelliously, and erroneously in front of you. Ani avesi, me and my household. Kakosa b'sayis Moshe avdecha, like it says in the Torah of Moshe, your servant, it says in Vayikra, ki v'yoyim hazeh yichaper v'goyim, because on this day we'll create an atonement, as the pasuk ends, from all your sins in front of Hashem, you'll be purified. And this was the vida that the Kohen Gadol would be saying. This would be the beginning of the process of his big day love in the second phase. And the people would say after him, when they would hear Hashem's name being said over here by the vida of the Kohen Gadol, Baruch Shem, blessed is the name, Kavod Machusai, the glory of his kingdom, Lo'olam Voed, forever and ever.